Bit of apprehension or nervousness when it comes to preaching, but I gotta admit, this morning I'm feeling it a little more. And that's probably because I'm hoping to do something a little different today. And something that kind of came as an idea. Came as an idea a while back. Say many moons ago, maybe a dozen years or so, a couple times we did some praise and worship nights over at FEBC. And over the years, a number of people have asked, we should do that again. Let's have a praise and worship night. And it's never really worked out that way. And then a number of years ago, when Mike stuck me on the preaching schedule, I said, yeah, not going to happen. And he, I don't know if he said it jokingly or not, today we find out, but he said, well, I don't care what you do, just go up there with the guitar if you have to or whatever, but you're going up there. And so I've had the opportunity to preach a number of times and thought today we'd do something a little different. And some of it came out of, I guess this last time that I was reading through the Bible and particularly the Old Testament, there are a couple passages that really stuck out to me, where the nation of Israel as a whole kind of returns to the Lord and worships him. And maybe it was because I felt like as a nation, we're not in that place right now. In some ways, I feel like we're almost a little bit like the remnant of Israel. You know, there was always this little group of the people that remained true to Yahweh. And as a nation right now, we seem to be far from God. You know, in some ways, we're very blessed to have local leaders and people that would say they believe in God. But as a nation as a whole, we're not in that place. So there's a couple of kind of bright points, a couple of spots in the Old Testament where one of them was, I preached on it last time, I think in summer sometime, where, you know, David is he's king, he's gonna have Solomon build this temple. He wanted to do it, but he couldn't. But Solomon builds this temple, and just the way that the whole nation kind of gets behind it, and David pours all his resources and his heart into this thing, and the people come together and they worship God. And then another time in their history where, really I guess not too long after that, but the temple had been shut down and Ahaz had been king, and he was wicked, and he encouraged the people to do wicked things. And then his son, I believe, Hezekiah, comes along, and he kind of turns things around, and he clears out the temple, and he cleanses everything, and he rededicates it to the Lord, and the people get together again, and as a nation, as a whole, they worship God together. So that's kind of where this came out of. You know, it wasn't that, I know we just spent time in worship here, and yet that's kind of where my heart's been at. So what I want to do today is we're just going to spend a little more time in worship. Going to read some passages that kind of pertain to the songs that I've chosen. And so we'll see how this goes. Kind of trying something with my iPad here that I have not tried before last night either, so I'm not sure how well that's going to work. I have my Bible open on half of it and my music on the other half, so see if I can make this work. So one of the places that I often like to start when leading worship is with a kind of a recognition of who we are and who God is. Part of that is an acknowledgement that we are a sinful people, and yet we want to come together to worship a holy God. And so I want to start with a song called As I Lift My Hands. And before we sing it, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 51. When I chose this passage and the song, I hadn't realized that this morning in our Sunday school class, we were going to be talking about some of the sin in David's life and how that affected him. And then, of course, his confession in Psalm 51 here. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt and purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight, and you will be proved right in what you say. Your judgment against me is just." We looked at the judgment that David declared when Nathan told him this story about, you know, the rich guy who took the poor guy's sheep away. And David was right in his judgment. You know, he had a sense of justice. He was a king. He understood what was right and wrong and what should be done in a case like this, that there had to be punishment for sin. But here, after having had Nathan come to him, David recognizes that God's judgment is right as well. Verse 5, he says, "For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You've broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins and remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will sing joyfully of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look for favor on Zion and help her rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls again will be sacrificed on your altar." And another short passage here from Isaiah. Pardon me. Isaiah chapter 64. Let you turn there. "Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. Oh, how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. You welcome those who gladly do good and who follow godly ways. But you've been very angry with us, for we are not godly. We are constant sinners, and how can people like us be saved? We're all infected with sin, and we're all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind." And so this song talks about how, you know, never mind our sin, even the righteous things that we do are just, they're just nothing in compared to the righteousness of God, of course. So. So this is meant to be a time of worship. This is not me singing on my own up here, just so we got that clear. So.
I know that you're always just one step. step away. And as I lift my hands before you, Jesus, so how I adore you. I worship you, I worship you. And as I lift my hands before you, Jesus, so how I adore you. I worship you, I worship you.
Of course, when I was just spending time studying worship, reading, thinking about these kind of things, you can't help but notice that in the Psalms, one of the biggest themes there is that of God's faithfulness. And it's one of the things that it seems like, the passage that Rudy read there that I picked out, it talks about how the people got together and Hezekiah encouraged them to worship, and they used the Psalms of David and Asaph, which, I mean, that's some of the same Psalms that we're singing today, of course, or most of our music is based on that. And so there's a couple Psalms I want to look at real quickly here. Leanne, the next song should be Great is Thy Faithfulness there. So let's look at Psalm 36, verses 5 to 7. Just going to read a couple short little sections here. If you search for faithfulness or unfailing love in the Psalms, there's literally like probably 75 to 100 different passages that talk about this, but we'll just look at a couple here. Psalm 36, verses 5 to 7 says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens." On the prairies, we understand that. That's a vast thing. "Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, and your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike. How precious is your unfailing love, O Lord. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings." And then Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. If you've ever wanted to like memorize a whole book of the Bible, this is a good one to start with. Psalm 117, verse 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you peoples of the earth, for his unfailing love for us is powerful, and the Lord's faithfulness endures forever." And the fact that we are here, you know, thousands of years after this was written, worshiping the same God, is a testament to the fact that his love does endure to endure forever, his faithfulness. So.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. And as thou hast been, now forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy. and hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
This next song, I See the Lord, is, I guess it's one of my favorite songs because it gives us this glimpse of what it's going to be like in the future. I think the song is probably taken from Isaiah's vision of God that he was given. He wasn't there. He wasn't in heaven when all this is going down, but he had a vision of it anyways. And I think one of the reasons that I enjoy this corporate worship in terms of praising worship, worshiping through song, is because it's kind of one of the things that's hinted at in Revelation that is going to happen someday. Of course, worship is so much more than singing a few songs here on a Sunday morning. It has far more to do with the way that we live our life, the way that we recognize God throughout our week when we see an incredible sunset and we give him glory for that. You know, that is as much a worship as this is, but this corporate worship that we do together, it talks in Revelation about how that's going to look. Yeah, that's why I picked the song. If you want to turn to Isaiah, we'll read a couple of verses there. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. And then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. And yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And he touched my lips and it said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to his people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me."
See the Lord, he is seated on the throne, the train of his robe is filling the heavens. And I see the Lord, he is shining like the sun, his eyes full of fire. Voice like the waters surrounding his throne, are thousands singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy He's shining like the sun, His eyes full of fire, His voice like the water, surrounding His throne are thousands singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Turn with me to Psalm 19. We're just talking about singing about what it's going to be like to sing holy, holy, holy around the throne. And this next song talks about the other side of that, our worship outside of this building, our worship in the things that we do in our everyday life. So the heavens proclaim the glory of God and the skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or a word, and their voice is never heard. And yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun, and it bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after its wedding. It rises like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect in reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making simple the wise. The commands of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, and each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold, sweeter than honey, even dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant and a great reward for those who obey Him. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults and keep me from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me, and then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to You, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart. Bless Your name, bless Your name, Jesus. And the deeds of the day and the truth in my way. Speak of You, Jesus. This is what I'm glad to do. Time to live a life of love that pleases You, and I will give my all to You. Surrender everything I have and follow You. I'll follow You. Lord, will You be my vision? My guide, be my hope, be my life, the way. And I'll look not for riches or for praises on the earth. Only You'll be the first of my heart. This is what I'm glad to do. It's time to live life of love that pleases You, and I will give my all to You. Surrender everything I have. up and follow you. I'll follow you.
Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles 29, verse 9, then the people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. And David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, and you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. And I think the emphasis really is on the fact that these are, you know, power and might are his. It talks about his alone, and Henry alluded to this earlier. I don't remember if it was in the devotional this morning or not, but this distinction between Yahweh, you know, versus all of the other gods that were there. And we know of Israel's troubled past and the way that they tended to follow other gods. And our nation is no different, whether we want to say that it was built on Judeo-Christian principles or whatever. There's certainly not the guidelines that seem to be governing us today necessarily. But to say that these things are power and might, the way that David is giving God the credit here, I think is very important. In verse 13, O God, we thank you, we praise your glorious name, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you. We give you only what you first gave us. We are here only for a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. Then down to verse 20. Then David said to the whole assembly, give praise to the Lord your God. And the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors. They bowed low and they knelt before the Lord and their king. And I just want to thank you for worshiping God together with me this morning. Honestly, I wasn't sure how this would turn out or whatever, but I know these couple of passages, when I read them and I just, in my mind, I envision an entire nation coming together to worship God, to declare that he is the God that they're going to follow, maker of heaven and earth. Yeah, that gets me excited. Sing forever, bowing before. Father in heaven, creator of heaven and earth, God above all gods, we worship you today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your son who paid such a great price for us, sacrificial lamb. God, we just want to give you the glory and the honor that is due your name. We recognize that just the futile, short-lived people that we are, sinful by nature, God, that all we have is really, if we could give it all, it would never be enough to show you how great you are, how thankful we are. But God, I just pray that these songs that we've sung this morning, just that they would have come from our hearts, that they would just be an indication of our thankfulness, our gratefulness for who you are and what you've done for us. Just pray that as we go from here, God, that we would do our best to live lives of worship every day, that that those lives would be contagious to those around who don't know you, that just as the heavens declare your goodness, that our lives would declare those things as well, God. I pray this in your name. Amen.